Thanks for listening to the Mornings with Carmen LaBurge podcast, made available thanks to support from listeners just like you.
Inspiring you to bring God back into the conversation of the day. This is Mornings with Carmen LaBurge on Faith Radio.
If we're gonna fly, we fly like eagles, arms out wide. If we're gonna fear, we fear no evil. We will rise. By your power, we will go. By your spirit, we are bold. If we're gonna stand, we stand as giants. If we're gonna walk, we walk as lions.
Hey, good morning. It's hour two of Mornings with Carmen here on the Faith Radio Network. If you missed hour one, you can always go back and listen to it at myfaithradio.com or on the Faith Radio app. If you subscribe to Mornings with Carmen as a podcast, then, you know, it'll already be there in your little podcast feeder system, whichever one you use. A couple of things happening here in the United States and around the world that I want you to be aware of as you get out there into the world that God so loves and walk your faith, walk your faith out in ways that honor Jesus. So one of the things that we do here on Mornings with Carmen, for those of you who are new with us, maybe that's you, maybe you're in Billings, Montana, and you're like, hey, this is not what I normally hear on the radio. Well, Faith Radio is your new host, and I'm Carmen LaBurge, and I get to spend time with you each weekday morning. And so thank you so much for tuning in. Yeah, this is not your normal programming, but hey, welcome to the new normal. Here we go. So we bring the mind of Christ to bear on what is happening in the world. We're trying to be Christians who are aware and embracing of our call as ambassadors of the kingdom of God in the midst of the kingdoms of this world. And so yesterday, while we were on air with Luke Moon, he actually read us in on something happening in real time. There was a stabbing of a bishop and a priest and some churchgoers during a celebration of Mass at the Assyrian Christ the Good Shepherd Church in Sydney, Australia. And it was literally happening in real time when Luke was talking about it. And so now we know a little bit more. Some four people suffered what are described as non-life-threatening injuries. The attacker has not only been, identified and now under arrest, but he's 16 years old. The incident was captured during the church live stream, and so there was a very, very rapid response in the community. And so this took place in a community called Wakeley in Sydney. And one of the things to know about that part of town is that it is the hub for Sydney's, you know, small but significant Christian Assyrian community. These are people who have fled persecution and war in Iraq and Syria, and Australia is their new home. And so people were upset about the attack. And the people who were upset about the attack, you know, we would say were, quote unquote, on the side of the people who had been attacked. But instead of allowing the police and emergency personnel to do their work, these people in Wakeley flooded into the streets and actually then attacked the police and attacked the emergency personnel, who then had to hole up inside the church for several hours where they were detaining this individual who was responsible for the stabbings. And so I just, you know, here's what I want to say. Like, you can't respond to violence with violence, and you have to allow the peace officers and the emergency responders to do their work. And so take a deep breath out there today. Don't respond to evil with evil. Like, don't respond to a person who is determined to be in conflict. Don't respond in the same way. Like, be Jesus-y. Go be Jesus-y out there today. I know it's hard, but it's imperative. And so I'm going to say the same thing to those who over the weekend responded to the Iranian attack on Israel by yesterday blocking bridges and access to airports in the United States, where they were chanting, "We are all Palestinian." Okay, let's get a grip on what is happening here for just a moment. So while the president of the United States spent the day calling members of the U.S. military and congratulating them and voicing his appreciation for their successfully shooting down more than 80 cruise missiles and attack drones. So the United States was heavily involved. The U.S. Air Force was heavily involved. That has never happened before. So just want you to pause. The United States of America has never engaged directly in defending Israel. But we did this weekend. And that's worthy of note and acknowledgement. So while the president was thanking, you know, these fighter jet pilots, people in America, or at least many people in America, some people in America, took to the streets to show their, quote, solidarity with Iran's actions. What? Seriously? So let me just pause and say, there is some rethinking that needs to be done here. And blocking key bridges, the Brooklyn Bridge and the Golden Gate Bridge, and blocking the interstate that leads into O'Hare Airport, and blocking Interstate 5 on the West Coast. These are not appropriate responses, and the chanting "We are all Palestinian" is not an appropriate response either. And so, I want you to think clearly about what is happening, not only here in the United States but around the world. And I want you to find a way to talk with emerging generations, in particular, about what Israel is and who the Jews are, and why a conversation about this matters, not just today and not just for people today, but why it matters ultimately. So let us be reading the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. Let us be remembering that we are engrafted into this vine, this chosen people of God. And let us remember that God has promised them a land. Jury selection is underway in the case against former President Donald Trump in New York City. I just want to make a couple of comments. This is an opportunity for you and I to talk not about all the other things that people are talking about, but this is an opportunity for you and I to talk about, what does it mean to sit in judgment of one another? What does it mean to be a nation of laws that apply equally to everyone? What does that mean? What does it mean that we all stand equal under the law? What does it mean that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? What does it mean that God is the ultimate authority and lawgiver? These are opportunities to have those kinds of conversations today. It's an opportunity to talk about sitting in judgment. It's an opportunity to talk about what it means to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God, to put your hand on the Bible and swear such a thing. Those are the kinds of conversations I would encourage you to have today. As folks want to stir the pot in a conversation about the president being on trial. All right. And yes, I still want to talk about Scottie Scheffler. I still want to talk about the Masters. I still want to talk about God, who is the master of us all. And so Jason Romano is going to join us from Sports Spectrum. And we're going to talk about Scottie Scheffler and, well, lots of other things where faith intersects with sports. That's up next here on Mornings with Carmen. Jason Romano has a really fun job and a Christian perspective on what is happening in the world of sports. You can check it out at sportsspectrum.com. The podcast is where Jason is often the featured host. So, Jason, welcome back to Mornings with Carmen.
Good morning, Carmen. It's great to hear your voice. Hope you're doing well.
I'm doing so well. I don't have a green jacket. Nor a coat of many colors, but I, like Scottie Scheffler, am covered in Christ and put on Christ, put on the love of God every single day. Can we start with Scottie Scheffler?
Yeah, we have to, almost, because he's the story in sports, at least from our perspective, of faith and Jesus intersecting in the world of sports. I mean, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to be very careful how I say this, because people who know sports are going to be like, what are you talking about? What about Tiger Woods? He might be the most dominant golfer we've ever seen. I'm not ever seen. We've seen in the last 20 years. I'll just say that. Tiger was Tiger, right, in his first 8 years. But Scottie Scheffler, what he's done the last few years has been purely dominant. He's the number one player in the world. And in golf, that doesn't mean you're going to guarantee to win the tournaments that you participate in, right? Like, it's, even if you're top five, you've done something pretty well. Scottie just won his second Masters in 3 years. And what I love about him is not only is he dominating on the course, but in the moments before and after the Masters, when he's been, you know, given a microphone and he's sitting at a press conference talking, he's being asked these questions. Now, I don't know if the people, Carmen, who are asking him questions are believers, but I have a hunch they might be, because they're asking him questions about purpose and hope and where he finds his value. And I hope, because that's what I would do, is I would ask those type of questions if I was covering the Masters, and both before and after. So let's start before, right? Like last Tuesday, Scottie's, you know, in a press conference and he's asked about what defines him. And he says, I'm a faithful guy. I believe in a creator. I believe in Jesus. And he says, that's what defines me. I feel like I've been given a platform to compete and show my talent. But this is all about Jesus and competing and glorifying him. And then he wins the Masters, which is just incredible. And sometimes when you win big events like this, it's hard to, dare I say, remember to praise God. I hate saying that, but sometimes guys get so caught up in the moment, or women get so caught up in the moment, that maybe they forget. Maybe they're just caught up in the just craziness of having realized what you just did. So he goes to the post-tournament press conference and he's telling this amazing story. There's a whole sermon here, Carmen, when you think about it, of how much he loves winning and hates losing. And then he's got his buddies around him. And it's just a reminder of the importance of having those people in your life to speak Jesus to you and to talk, you know, speak life into you. And he says, my buddies told me this morning that it doesn't matter how I play or if I win or lose, my victory was already secure on the cross. My identity is secure forever with him. And I thought, wow, like he just won the Masters, right? The Super Bowl of golf. And he did it for the second time in 3 years. And his perspective with him and from his friends as a reminder are that his identity is secure in Christ. Like, how cool is that?
I know. He's like, I haven't watched golf because it's it takes a lot of time and there's maybe not a lot of like fast action. But I love golf. I mean, I do. I appreciate it. And it's hard. It's very difficult. Incredibly difficult to play it well. It struck me in conversations that I've heard that like Scottie Scheffler, I mean, he's only 27 and he's already got his second green jacket. Tiger Woods is 48 and he won his first Masters tournament when Scottie was a year old.
And I know.
Like, right. And so, and they were both competing in this same tournament And I don't know. I guess I was thinking that, you know, the whole world watched Tiger Woods for one reason. And now Scottie Scheffler is being watched for those same reasons. But the questions he's being asked are very different. And yeah. I think that when you are living your faith very, very publicly, you do invite people to ask the questions that they're really gnawing on them deep down inside, but they've never known a high profile Christian who's been so humbly willing to talk so publicly about his purpose, his hope, and what defines him. So I want to pray for Scottie Scheffler and his caddy and his wife and the ministry that they have with with college age golfers and on and on and on and on and on. And because I do think this is an individual and a public witness through whom God is definitely getting his glory. So we're going to continue our conversation with Jason Romano here in just a moment. We're going to ask him about, what he saw and experienced at the Final Four in Phoenix. And then, yes, we are going to jump to some recent episodes of the Sports Spectrum podcast and see what's going on there. You got a high profile or maybe even a no profile person out there in sports that you've been watching and you're like, here's a Christian out there in the world of play that I think people ought to know their story. Text me. We'd love to know that. 877-933-2484. You're listening to Mornings with Carmen. I'm Carmen LaBurge here with Jason Romano, and we'll be right back. I'm Carmen LaBurge, host of Mornings with Carmen. I love a good story. Don't you? I love a good love story, a good mystery, a good travel log. I love a good turnaround story or a story that begins once upon a time and ends with happily ever after. So what's your story? Specifically, your Jesus story. What difference does Jesus make in your life? Could you tell it as a love story or a rescue story? However you tell it, trust me, we want to hear it. We love a good story. Connecting Faith to Life, Faith Radio. Who are you watching out there in the sports world? Is there a Christian out there on the field of play somewhere that you, you know, you'd like us to know about and see highlighted? You should text me, 877-933-2484. Jason's always looking for new people to talk to at the intersection of sports and faith. Jason Romano is here from Sports Spectrum. You can find what we're talking about today at sportsspectrum.com. All right, Jason, what did you see? What did you experience? Who did you meet? What stories do you have from the Final Four in Phoenix?
Yeah, it was a great weekend. I went with a ministry called Nations of Coaches, who's a partner, and you know, we do ministry together with Sports Spectrum, and they're a ministry that serves coaches in college basketball, particularly men's college basketball, and serves their wives. It's really neat, and they help place what they call character coaches within these programs of college basketball. And really what they are is they're team chaplains. They just kind of disguise it, if you will, very publicly as character coaches. It's a nice name for the world, but they're chaplains. They're in there to help the teams learn about Jesus and grow in a faith in Christ. And you know, getting together with that ministry, seeing how many coaches love the Lord, and then being able to participate in some of these events. They actually have events at the Final Four, at the convention center where all of the Final Four events are held. But the faith-based events that I got to help moderate a panel called Next Up with some coaches in the industry on the highest level of Division I, and how do they live their faith out as coaches in the workplace? How do they live their faith out in a place where maybe there's some backlash and some people telling them, hey, keep that Jesus stuff to yourself? So getting to talk to those guys, Leonard Hamilton, who's the head coach at Florida State, and so many others, was a real treat. And then they had a couple other panels as well. And here's the coolest thing, Carmen. On Sunday morning, after the Final Four game Saturday night, on Sunday morning, they had a what they call a non-denominational service, but it was basically church with a worship band from Grand Canyon University. Their worship team came, and a speaker who came, a pastor who shared the gospel, I'll just say. It was awesome. And I got to worship with about 200 other people in the world of college basketball on Sunday morning. It was pretty neat to see. And it gave me hope, right? Like in the world of sports, you never know what the Lord's doing. And then you go and you see so many coaches, so many people with influence in the college basketball world, just living their faith out. It was wonderful.
Jason, did you bring a pencil to the party today? Because you got some you got some things to write down here. We got listeners who want to hear some stories. I know. You got a pencil?
Okay. Of course. Go.
We want to hear about Micah Potters. He's a believer, and right now he's in free agency after 2 years with the Jazz. He played for Wisconsin. That's from Patty in McFarland, Wisconsin. Okay. Maria says Dakota Lindvurm. Dakota with an H at the end, and then Lindwurm, competing in the Paris Olympics in the marathon.
Okay.
These people are giving you insight because, you know, they obviously know people's faith stories, right?
And like, I like this. Listen, we have a couple Olympic guests coming up, too, in a month or two here. The Olympics are something we're really excited about, and I hope me and you can talk about that as we get closer in the summertime, because there's a lot of believers who are doing great things that are going to be representing the U.S. at the Olympics. So I appreciate that suggestion.
Yeah, and then the gal at UConn who we talked about the last time.
Paige, yeah.
Yes. People are. Yeah, we're getting several votes for her as well. Andrew would like to know about Herschel Walker, which that would be a bit of a blast from the past. Andrew, revealing
your age.
I'm a
Cowboys fan growing up, so Herschel would be amazing, right? That'd be awesome.
I mean, totally, right? Whatever is inspiring. And then Carol wants to know, do we know anything about the faith of Caitlin Clark? So there you go. I just set that out there. Might be like one of those questions, that we don't really know the answer to off the top of our heads. But yes, good. Yeah, you guys keep them coming. You guys know a Christian out there who is competing We want to know who they are, competing at the college level, competing, you know, beyond college, in some way, shape, or form. We want to hear those stories, and Jason's the guy who actually goes and gets them. And so, yeah, you text them, we'll pass them along to Jason. It's like a homework assignment from Mornings with Carmen. You had an opportunity to talk with a college football coach, Trent Dilfer. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so Trent is a Super Bowl winning quarterback. When he played, he was with the Baltimore Ravens in 2000, I think, when they won the Super Bowl. He was a first round pick. He then went to work at ESPN, as I did, for 17 years. And Trent was my colleague there for probably, 10 years or so, 9 or 10 years together. And we got to work on the NFL together. I was a producer. He was obviously on the air. And so I've known Trent a long time, and he's a good friend. We were recently at a conference together, and I wanted to talk to him because Trent is now a college football coach on the Division I level at UAB, University of Alabama, Birmingham. And, you know, I've always known Trent as this broadcaster guy who talks about the NFL, and here he is now coaching. And it was fascinating to talk to him about how, I mean, first of all, just about life, right? Like, he's a dad and a grandfather and what that has looked like for him. But just living in this coaching world, when you just work long hours, the pressure's on to win, you got young people that you're placed in, you know, you have this responsibility to help sort of teach them and mold them, but also win, obviously, in recruiting, and there's all the NIL and transfer protocol stuff that's going on in college sports. So we talked a lot about that, and how do you maintain a faith? Like, how do you stay grounded? How do you still come to Christ every day and give it to him when you feel like you're the one that everybody's pointing to and saying you're in control here? So it was really great conversation if you're a coach or if you're a parent or if you're just struggling with a job transition, which we talked a lot about. And, you know, so some memories from his time at ESPN and how that ended. He was actually let go by ESPN and then kind of found this new second life in his late 40s into coaching. So he's just one of my favorite people. Trent is very unashamedly bold about his faith. He's also very transparent in what he says, and he doesn't hide from his thoughts or his feelings, which make me really happy for a person who's doing a show like this. So I love talking to Trent. It's one I highly recommend. And by the way, it was filmed in person, so we have the whole video on our YouTube channel for Sports Spectrum, so you can watch it in its glory of HD, if you will, for him, not for me. But it was wonderful. And it's out there right now everywhere our podcast is found.
Well, and it's a wonderful thing to have something on YouTube that you can then so easily share with, you know, such a visually driven generation. So thank you. Thank you for that. All right. Keep your pencil out. Patrick Anderson, who is a wheelchair Paralympian and Carol in Simsbury, Connecticut, would like that story told. Hold on. I had another one here. Dawn says, Masters runner Sarah Hall. I'm asking for more information. Maybe it's Sarah marathon Hall. Runner. Sarah
marathon
Hall.
Runner. That sounds right.
I know. Yep. I'm asking. Let's see. Yeah. Okay. Oh, Ryan Hall is her husband. There you go. That's the,
oh, yes.
The
added information. I've had added Ryan Hall on the show. Yeah, all many right. years ago. Okay.
Rich says, hey, Caitlin Clark has a strong Catholic faith. Well, there you go. See, there, I'm just saying, like, we got all kinds of input this morning.
Look at your listeners doing our jobs for us. I love that.
That we need help. Jason and I both need help. So, yeah, so thank you for helping us in this way today. Jason, as always, what a joy. You guys need to check out Sports Spectrum. Mm-hmm, I can get it right. SportsSpectrum.com. Lots of great stories there. It's a really fun place to, you know, if you're just looking for something to find a way into conversation with some guys or find a way into conversation with some young people, you know, look around for the sport of their interest or what's happening in the culture and be like, hey, look at this. Did you know this? I don't know. Did you know this about this person? And just allow them to help you open a gateway of conversation with somebody today. Jason, as always, it's such a joy. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Carmen, for having me. Always great to talk to you.
Likewise. All right. Yes. Thank you. Rich says we love to hear from Jason. Yes. And here's another one. I will pass these on. What do you know of the faith journey of Grant Nelson? Well, I don't, but I'm willing to bet that Jason will do some research on that and noodle it through. Let me ask you this. Why does it matter what you do today? Like, seriously. Like, why does it matter? I mean, today's like a drop in the bucket, right? Of the 29,000 and some odd days most people get, like, you know, one day. Does one day really matter? Does it really matter what I buy today or what I do today, what I say today, whether or not I throw my trash on the ground today? Yes, it matters. It all matters. Every action has a ripple effect. You are, in every moment, leading someone. You are. And how you walk and talk and engage with other people is an act of leadership in the kingdom of God. You are an ambassador. You should have your head up and your shoulders back, and you should recognize who you are in Christ Jesus as you walk your faith out there into the world that he so loves. As people who are committed to apprehending and applying the mind of Christ to the matters of the day, it matters what we do and what we say and how we are leading other people by every move we make. Paula Maddox is one of those people who not only operates with integrity in the midst of all kinds of challenges, she actually lives in the future. Yep, you heard me. She's not just trying to keep pace with the change happening around us. She's actually influencing those changes. She's shaping the future. I want to do that. Don't you want to do that? Paula Maddox joins us next. You're listening to Mornings with Carmen. What difference does it make how you treat others today? If you want other people to follow you, why does it matter how you lead? Paula Maddox is here. She's the author of Think Globally, Lead Strategically. She is a person that lots of others follow. She had a notable 30-plus year career with the FBI and is widely recognized around the world as a coach. She's got coaching clients in 70 countries, and she's here to help us lead like Jesus, by helping us to think like Jesus and see things the way he sees them, learning that leadership isn't actually about us, it's about others. Paula Maddox, welcome to Mornings with Carmen.
Good morning, Carmen. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
It's a joy. It's absolutely a joy to have you with us. Leadership is about other people. I thought leadership was about me. But you say leadership's actually... it's actually about other people and not me. Can you unpack that?
Most certainly. Thank you for that question, too. And I think it's something that we all need to unpack and understand. Leadership is really about servant leadership. It's about serving others. So when people contact me and want coaching on how to get a promotion, I'm always saying, okay, you want to do more work and you also want to do more serving. If we are only serving ourselves, we're nothing more than a politician. So leadership is about leading others and serving others and molding them into being better leaders.
I mean, that is so great. If somebody is considering, they want more pay or they want a promotion, that's just a great approach to say, oh, okay, you want more responsibility. You want to be more of a servant leader that others can rely on and follow the pattern of. I'm not sure everybody thinks of promotions in that way. So that's a really, helpful lens right there. Talk with us a little bit about what you learned about leadership during your time with the FBI. First of all, I mean, that's just cool. That's just cool. That just makes you cool.
Is it really? Yeah, leadership, yeah. I tell you, just federal government in total. FBI was one experience, but the most notable is when I had to do a takedown, as a matter of fact, and didn't imagine that I would have to do that within my job or career. Dealing with a potential bribery situation. So not only was FBI involved, DEA, Secret Service, and all the DEA, all the federal law enforcement. So this gentleman contacted me from another part of the country. He had never met me, and he wanted to bribe me for a 10-year real estate contract. And by the third conversation, he also wanted to meet me at a local hotel in Atlanta as well. So the law enforcement said, "Yeah, Paula, tell him to come on down. We'll be waiting on him." And we did a drop in the middle of the Atlanta airport and apprehended him, and that went into grand jury and the whole deal. But I had to do I was wired up for a mic. I had to do the whole thing that you see on TV. So leadership is about doing the right thing and having integrity in all that you do.
Okay, so you could write like a follow-up that could be fishers of men put out there as bait. I don't know. That sounds like it's a little zesty there. Paula Maddox is our conversation partner. Her book is Think Globally, Lead Strategically. The global part of this conversation is really important. I mean, God's got the whole world in his hands. I mean, he sees each one of us intimately, but he also sees it all of it all the time. That gives him a perspective that's very different than our own. Talk with us about the need to broaden our perspective as we, you know, grow as people who are leading others in the way of Christ.
You know, growth is about also expanding our perspectives and our mindsets. And you are right. God has all of it in the palm of his hands. And we should be seeing each other the way that he sees us and giving everybody else the same amount of grace, regardless of their background, what their belief system is. We need to show up so that they will want to be like us. So we are in a work culture and workforce that's typically multi-generational and global. We're working on global teams. So we are more apt to understand and provide grace to those that we have communication and connections with and understand. We typically fear what we do not understand. So we have to grow our mindsets to just expand and gain additional information and knowledge.
Talk with us, grace. I think of grace as, you know, I know I need it. I need his mercies new every morning. I recognize that his grace is all sufficient. What I hear you saying is, I'm supposed to be a conduit of that to other people. I need to recognize that every other person on my team is a person who needs new mercies every morning, needs the sufficient grace for that day or for that project or for that conversation. Can you spend another minute there? Because that is really good.
Absolutely. You know, we tend not to think about that when we're in the throes of work every day, but it is something we have to be very mindful of, because grace is what allows us to really lean into our influence and persuasion. It allows us to be more strategic and impactful when we're navigating through relationship building at the job and establishing connections and really developing our leadership pipeline. But if we're not willing to extend grace to anyone else, then would they really want to engage with us? We all try to bring 100% or more every day, but we're imperfect. It's kind of impossible to do that. A lot of people are still navigating through the side effects of COVID and several different life situations. We all need that grace every day. So why not extend it to others the way it's been extended to us?
We're talking with Dr. Paula Maddox. You can connect with her at Prepare to Shift. That is a number two in there, preparetoshift.com. Her book, Think Globally, Lead Strategically. It's a Christian guide to building effective leaders. When you think about the way you're walking out the character and the ways of God in your workaday world, that's the conversation that we're having. Like, how am I not just to be a Christian in the environment where God has me laboring each and every day, but how is the way that I am living my life leading other people? Because you are in a leadership role all the time, everywhere. You may not feel that way, but you are. And others are watching you. They're paying attention. They're listening to you. They're overhearing you. They're feeling that emotional energy that you bring into the room. And so you are a leader, whether you see that about yourself or not. And so we want you to be fully equipped as a leader and a person of Christ in the world. So this is a faithful guide to building that leadership capacity. Think globally, lead strategically. Paula, let's do the think globally part. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. I'm just one person in one little place doing one little thing. What has the rest of the world got to do with, you know, like whether or not I throw trash on the ground?
Ah, that's a good question. You know, we think people are so different from us, but are they really? As a matter of fact, I coach internationally, as you have mentioned, and what I have come to find is that what's coming to the coaching sessions are some of the same common topics, just framed around different cultural aspects. And that is what really God prompted me to write this third book and bring those common topics to bear to everyone, to bear them in mind, because we think we're so different, but everybody's navigating to, you know, around the same issues. So how do we open up our mindsets and deal with this globally? How do we meet other people from other parts of the world that we work with every day and extend that grace and be humble and engage with them so that we can do our work effectively? So, and how do we collaborate? How do we strategically think and strategically plan through our work and also invite them to do the innovative thinking with us? This is where, I mean, this is part of the discipleship. This is part of the Great Commission. It's not about just evangelizing in the neighborhood. It's the world. That's our background.
Well, and it's all available today. I mean, we are in a day and age when we really not only can, but do talk with and work with people around the world. I mean, you know, it used to be you had to, you know, raise money and get on an airplane and go be a missionary in a foreign country and learn a language and learn the culture and adapt to the customs. And then you might win the opportunity to share the gospel. But now, I mean, you and I are on Zoom calls with people all over the world around projects or around, you know, shared interests and people intersect with other people on social media and all the time from everywhere. God is literally providing a way for us to be witnesses in every moment. And I think what you're equipping us to do is prepare ourselves to lead in those moments, that we are not just passive. We're just not going to passive ride, but God's got us there for a purpose, and we need to discover that and prepare ourselves to be faithful to Him in the midst of it. The book is Think Globally, Lead Strategically. We're going to continue our conversation with Dr. Paula Maddox here in just a moment. You can connect with her directly at preparetoshift.com, and that's the number 2, preparetoshift.com. You're listening to Mornings with Carmen. I'm Carmen LaBurge. This is Faith Radio. Receive a daily email featuring a scripture graphic. Sign up for the Verse of the Day email at myfaithradio.com. How do you think about what you do in the workaday world? How are you thinking about leadership in your community, in your family? How are you thinking about yourself as a global citizen, an ambassador of the kingdom of God in the midst of the kingdoms of this world? We're talking with Dr. Paula Maddox. The book is Think Globally, Lead Strategically, A Christian Guide to Building Effective Leaders. Paula, what is the single defining trait that you think characterizes great leaders? Doesn't really matter the venue. Is there one defining trait that you're like, yeah, this is something every great leader has?
Absolutely, Carmen. That's an excellent question. Our greatest weapon is humility. Not being humble to man, but humble to God, and just taking this journey with Him, aligning with Him and His Word, and it would navigate us through all the things that we feel that are just impossible to navigate through. It's about communing with Him every day. And in every situation, a lot of times in business, they're telling you, okay, have you checked in with your board of directors? Have you checked in with your C-suite? Have you checked in with your personal prayer intercessors first? You know, you know, prayer can get us through everything. It's about our alignment and our connection to God and our Lord and Savior. So that is where everything begins to happen. That's where the miracles begin to be created, and we can navigate through what we are there and assigned to do.
That is so good. Checking in with our personal prayer intercessors, first of all, requires we have those. I think, you know, part of the encouragement that you offer, and you offer it so freely because it's obviously, it is who you are. there are probably, you know, people listening who are like, I don't even have personal prayer intercessors. Like, what is she talking about? Can you just describe that relationship for us?
Yes, it's about developing a community within the faith, within our faith and within the Christian community. And that's why it's so important, you know, when scripture tells us that we should be gathering and congregating together and worshiping together. This is where we meet one another of like minds and support one another and encourage one another, because the secular world will not know how to do that for us. So it's about having that community of people, prayer partners, people that will pray for you and you can pray for them. And we can begin to build a faith community and relationships and partnerships with our own so that we can help each other navigate through all of these types of situations.
Paula, if I were to say to you, what we need in the world right now, what we need in America today, is to win the battle for hearts and minds. Can you talk about how that happens? Because my guess is winning the battle of hearts and minds is not just something that Christians are interested in doing. Like, that is the battlefield today.
Absolutely. But in order to win the hearts and minds, you have to understand the individual. And that's what I so appreciate about coaching. It gives me an opportunity to listen to people. When we listen to people, we find out more about them. We find out more about what is really troubling them, where the hurt lies. If we don't know where the hurt is or where the trouble lies, it's like a physician. They go in, when we go and visit them, they're asking us a multitude of questions. They're trying to diagnose, okay, what is really wrong? What are the symptoms? We have to be that way in our conversations with others and have the patience and the humility to speak with them, to find out where are they hurting, and then tell them how they can heal and how we can help them heal and support them in that healing. So it really, when you bring it down to the lowest common denominator, it's about the communication. That is half the problem, more than half the problem of what's going on around the world. Communication. No one wants to communicate effectively with one another.
All right. If somebody doesn't know what a coach does, because you do like leadership coaching, you do business coaching, you do executive coaching, there's a pretty good chance that folks know what a counselor does, but maybe they don't know what a coach, and they know what a coach does on a ball field, but maybe they don't know what a coach does when you use that language.
Yes. Yeah. Coach is your accountability partner. Coaches like myself hire coaches to coach us. So we fully understand the value of coaching. Coaching is different from the other professional services because we provide that safe space for you to unpack and have that conversation. And to also, in coaching, we understand we're not telling you what to do like consultants and other services. We are listening so that we can ask questions so that you can find the answers within yourself. All the answers are already embedded in us. Sometimes we just need that sounding board. We need to hear ourselves speak to understand, okay, that's the answer that I need to find the courage to pull up and to activate. And we're there to take that journey with you.
We would imagine that somebody would be like, okay, coach, I feel stuck. And then you would ask questions that would lead that individual to share more about their stuckness in order that they might find the motivation to get unstuck. Is that an example? I mean, I know it's, you know, like trying to I'm trying to describe to people what you experience a little bit in coaching so that they might become more interested.
Absolutely. You hit it on the nail. It's about shifting, finding out what is that level of resistance. Is it embedded in fear? Is it embedded in not being projected a certain way to certain people? Is it embedded in being a people pleaser? What is it? We get down into the lower levels of that and get to the cause and not deal with symptoms all the time so that you can have that coaching session and or number of sessions and be able to leave with the tools that you need to navigate through these situations in the future as well.
That's so good. I like the idea of shifting, like downshifting so we can talk through it and then actually like getting it into gear. That's really good. Such good language, such good imagery. PrepareToShift.com is a wonderful website where you can find out more about coaching. You can connect with Dr. Paula Maddox. The number 2 is in the middle of that, PrepareToShift.com. The book, Think Globally, Lead Strategically, a Christian guide to building effective leaders. You are a leader, and we want you to be fully equipped for that good work that God has prepared in advance for you to do today. Paula, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute delight.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure to be here with you.
Likewise. I feel like we're going to talk again in the future. So I look forward to that in advance. That's Dr. Paula Maddox. Where is God leading you today? And then where is God inviting you to lead others today? Like you have influence, and you get to shape today by your presence, by your words, by your actions. How are you going to do that? What does God want you to see today? Or who does God want you to see today differently than maybe you've seen them in the past? Is there a way that you need to shift your perspective on the work he's called you to do, or the people that you're going to be working alongside or with? What resources has God placed under your stewardship? Like, it all belongs to God, right? So what resources has God placed under your stewardship, under your management? I mean, this includes your body and your mind, your time, your talents, your opportunities, your relationships, on and on and on. What resources has God placed under your stewardship or management that he wants you to leverage for his glory today to reshape the world? All of that is before us in this day. And if we haven't been thinking about it that way, then we need to rethink. We need to apprehend and apply the mind of Christ on the matters of the day. Here's one thing I do know for sure. The people out there, they don't need another piece of your mind. They do desperately need the peace of the mind of Christ. So how are you going to deliver that today? Sometimes in our conversations, like, people are just pitching out, you know, a piece of their mind. I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. People don't need a piece of your mind. People do desperately need the peace of the mind of Christ. How could you deliver that today in your conversations? In the way you carry yourself, in the way that you go about your work, in humbling yourself in the midst of a controversy or a conflict. I'm going to encourage you to go be Jesus-y today. Let your light so shine before others that people will see your good works, but they'll glorify God who is in heaven. Know that I'll be praying for you today. I trust that you'll be praying for me as well. Thank you so much for this time together. If you want to connect with us, we've got a welcome pack for you. You can text the word welcome to 877-933-2484 and check out all of our resources at myfaithradio.com. Have a great day, and God bless. Thanks for listening to Mornings with Carmen LaBurge. Podcasts like this are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes to give now. And thanks.